you.
Amen. Hey, everybody. I'm going to announce Ed from here because my mic, other mic is gone. You know, the man on the stage is Ed Lewis. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm glad to see you, bro. That's good.
Praise the Lord. You know, Phil's known Ed for a long time. I met Ed a couple years ago when we drove to Philadelphia, right. Phil and I, after coming back from Chile. And I know we told you the story, Ed. We drove, and we got our little rental car, and we had the phone that told us where to go, and we kept driving and driving and driving and driving. And it keeps looking different. And
wow.
we pulled up in front of the church, which we thought we were in the right spot, and Phil and I both get out. And Phil looked at me and he goes, Jason was supposed to meet us and Jason wasn't there yet, which is fine. But Phil looked at me and he goes, we should probably wait in the car. And so we got in the car.
Chicken.
But scaredy cats. But you know what? Well, we've since sent a couple teams back. And, you know, my time in Philadelphia, Ed, just transformed my view of ministry.
Wow.
My life and what the Lord is doing through you and through your team there.
Thanks.
It really truly gives hope in the middle of hopelessness. And so let's give Ed another.
Hey,
hand.
Thank you so much. It's my privilege. Thanks for those comments, and thanks for you as a congregation. I don't know if you know this, but you're actually helping to send me there, supporting me there. You have prayers for what's going on at the Urban Hope Training Center in Philadelphia, and God has just been absolutely great to us, and we're going to watch a little bit of a video in just a moment. I want to let you also know I was really looking forward to being here to be able to see Phil Sparling. I remembered Phil all the way back from the days when he was in high school, and I have stories that I could tell, but I won't. I won't. No. But he was on Operation Barnabas, which is a high school ministry team for the summer, and I was his leader. So that shows you a lot of stuff that went on. But at any rate, I had no idea he's gone into crocheting and knitting. I had no idea. Wow, what a difference. Not to Phil, I knew, my word. But at any rate, it is my privilege to be able to be here today. I wanted to set up the video you're going to see, because you may have even seen this video before, because it's people from your church. Your church came over to Philadelphia in 2015, and they came over to the place where I live, and I love that. I actually have a home in the state of Indiana. That's where I live, outside of Warsaw, Indiana, near South Bend, areas in northern Indiana. Been there for lots and lots of years. And what happened about, and I will explain this in just a moment, but I ended up having a special desire to say, what can I do to make a difference? And I moved over to inner city Philadelphia, where we have a ministry there. And I spend 3/4 of my year now in Philadelphia, and I go back and forth to Indiana. But I want to tell you, it's an incredible opportunity for us. You'll see the setting we have by watching the video.
Thank you. baby jelly.
Jason Hope used to come knock on doors and
We made this decision and we're going to keep going to church and we're going to keep our relationship strong with the Lord.
We live on mission now. We do live on mission to reach out to everybody.
It was so cool. Those last people you just saw, I just got a telephone call last night from Orlando. That's Orlando there. Hey, guess what, Ed? He says, today we went out as a church and did homeless ministry, where you saw some pictures. And he said, it was incredible. He said, we gave out well over 100 meals to homeless people. We prayed with people. He said, and you know what? He said, you know, some of the people came along from our church that haven't been there. He said, we threw it open to them and talked about what it is to minister to new people. He said, you know, Lisa down the street, Tioga, he said, you know what? He says, yeah, she went along. I said, oh, I can't believe. He said, yeah. Says, she's been coming to our church for a long time. I'm not sure where she is spiritually. But she said, this last night, she said, was the best night of her life. I said, you are kidding. I said, that is incredible. Let me tell you, I live right on the corner of A and Tioga in Philadelphia. And right outside my area, they do drug deals. I know the drug dealers. I took Eddie to Chick-fil-A a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's like these are people right outside. You want heroin, you want crack, it's right there. And we're the highest concentration of illegal drugs anywhere in the East Coast, right there in the Kensington area, more than in New York or D.C. And it's also a place that's filled with a lot of poor people. The average household income of 4 is $18,000 a year. So you don't have a lot of money, and they don't have a lot of stuff that is going on, and they don't like where they are, and so they throw trash everywhere. And yet God is changing lives like crazy there. And it is absolutely wonderful. And you're seeing pictures of some of the people that are in there with Orlando and Angie. They were people that were drug dealers. In fact, they have two boys that are locked up themselves in prison. That's what even helped them to come to faith in Christ. Both of them are in prison, both separate cases of drug dealing and murder. And so they are both in prison for the rest of their lives. And meanwhile, you saw the other high school student that was there, and that's Isaiah. Isaiah is a student in their home. He got straight A's in high school this last year. What in the world? Isn't that awesome? So look at what God, you know what the difference is? God changes lives. I want to explain to you, we don't see this enough. That it talks about, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. You know, there was a picture in there of Rocky. Rocky became a believer when he was locked up. And now you know what we do? You went to our church, we would have two people in the pulpit. Myself or somebody else, or Jason or somebody else from the community. And we're actually training them. They're studying the word. They preach messages together. They're involved in the ministry because we're growing something up from within the inner city. Why am I talking about all this? Let me tell you a little bit of my story, in the sense that I told you I work at this organization, CE National. It's a church effectiveness ministry. I love my neighbors. I love the church I go to, love the area that I'm living. But I just felt like, you know what? I don't know if you ever felt this way. Sometimes you feel like life is so routine, so much going through the same routines over and over again, that it actually came to my mind to say, you know what? I want to do something more to make a difference in this world. I love what I'm doing, but I just feel like, is there something that I could do to serve the Lord in a greater way? Well, that's when I went to a CE board and they said, well, you could move over to Philly. We have a ministry over there and you could actually do stuff on Skype and you can go back and forth. So that's exactly what I do. And I go back and forth to Indiana. Oh, about every 3 weeks or something, I'm back in Indiana for a week and then I go back. But it's because I have work that's there. But I'll tell you, I would rather be in Philly. And it's not because I like drugs. And it's not because I like trash. And it's not because I like the loud noise. I'm in a Latino community, all row houses. The cars go boom, da boom, da boom, all hours of the night. I mean, no joke. You have to come over and see this. It's like all the stuff, and people are very Puerto Rican, yell and holler, hello, what are you? You know, all the stuff that is going on, all the yelling and swearing and all the rest of it. I could tell you story after story. I think one of my favorite stories, didn't even share it at the first hour, but was Katina was one who used to sit on her front steps right on Tioga Street. She'd sit out there and I said, Kat, I said, why don't you come to church? She said, I'm not coming to your effing church. Don't you know I don't have anything to do with God? I said, you know what? God loves you. God loves you, and we want to see you come. She says, well, you know, I'm a lesbian. I said, God loves lesbians too. And you know what? You know what she did? She started coming to church. And you know what we did as soon as she came to church? We hugged her. We hugged her. And you know what? Her friend came with her, Sandra, and we hugged her. We wanted her to feel loved. That's what God does. He loves people. And you know what? It wasn't very long until she was coming to church on a regular basis. And one Friday morning, we have prayer meetings all the time and a place there every morning. We'll pray for people by name. And one of the mornings we came out there and I said, let's just pray for Kat today. Wouldn't it be incredible if she turned her life over to Christ? That afternoon, she knocked on the door and there was there and said, Kat, what are you doing here? She said, I give up. I said, what do you mean? I want to turn my life over to Jesus. I said, you're kidding. He says, can I talk to you? Can I talk to Jason? I said, well, let's make a memory. Why don't you get down on your knees here? I said, and let's talk to God. And that's exactly what she did. She turned her life over to Christ. You know what happened in the service that Sunday? We were out there in the service. We have open microphones. And so anybody can come up and give prayer requests or praises. And she came by and says, hi, church. My name is Kat. And everybody knows that I'm a lesbian. But this week I met a man and I'm in love with him. And his name is Jesus Christ and he's the bomb, you know, and everybody applauded. And you know what? It wasn't very nice. I said, by the way, where's Sandra? She said, she didn't come. She said, she moved out. I said, she did. I said, why did she do that? She says, I asked her to move out. I said, who told you to do that? Jesus. She said, if you had talked to me all about I have to get my life all together, I promise you, I would have never come to the church. But you love me right now the way I am. And you know what? That spoke to my heart. Why am I saying this? I love being in an inner city. And it's not about an inner city. It's about living on mission. You know, there's a scripture passage. I love it. We're not even going to go there this morning. But it's become my life focus for at least these years right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live, us, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The greatest thing that I can do would be living for Jesus. And it's like, that is incredible. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is worth following. And Jesus is one who gave us a Bible. Not because it's a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. It's a whole thing of saying, this is how you can know eternal life. This is how you can know what it means to have a purpose in life. This guidebook will tell you, watch looking out for the wrong things because it's ruining your life and because it will move in the wrong direction. And this is incredible. And you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he reached out to a couple of old fishermen, not old, they were probably young, probably teenagers themselves, but they were fishermen and they fished with nets. And if you have your Bible, or we will actually look at it up here, I want you to open it to the first book of the New Testament. By the way, we always have to do that where we are in Philly, because they don't know what a Bible is. They don't know what an Old Testament is. They don't know what a New Testament is. They don't know what the little numbers are. Those are verses. And what are the big ones? My word. I remember talking to Helen, and Helen said, I just asked Jesus to come into my life, and now I have to go out and buy 2 new books. I said, you do? I said, what are the books you have to buy? She said, she pulls out a piece of paper. Book of Matthew, Gospel of John. I said, no, those are in the Bible. What do you mean? My Bible is a book. No, we call that a book. What, that page is a book? Why do they call it a book? I don't know. They just do, and you just have to learn. And it's like, this is different. Why am I talking about all of this? Here it is in the book of Matthew. Jesus walks by, and these men were probably people who knew Jesus was God. They knew that there was something unique about him. There was something. Here were guys that were out there fishing. And look, if you would, at this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. It wasn't a random thing. I know they would have known who Jesus was, but it was an incredible experience to think here were guys that were probably saying, I'm fisherman. That's a fisherman by trade. There's nothing wrong with being fisherman. There's nothing wrong with your job. There's nothing wrong with where you are. But did you ever think, is that all there is? I ran into somebody in Philly the other day, and I said, what is the purpose of life? He said, I wish I knew. I guess you have to reproduce yourself, so you have kids. I get married. Sometimes people get married. Then you get a job, and then you retire, and then you die, I guess. I said, is that all there is? Yeah, I guess that's all there is. I said, don't you think there's a real purpose for your life? Didn't you ever really come back to say that? I said, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, Jesus says this, I have come to give you life and to give it to the full. John chapter 10 and verse 10. You can have a purpose in life. You can come to the point that you say, I feel fulfilled. Listen, people, I am fulfilled at this point in my life. I am 70 years old. I'm an old guy. But you know what? I've never been more fulfilled than I am right now. You know why? Because I'm doing what Jesus wants. Here, look at this passage of what he told them. You want to learn something that'll really fulfill you in life? Here's what he does. First of all, Jesus offers us meaningful life. That is what is all about. Jesus is one who would say, this is what I want. By the way, some people say, well, I know what you want me to do. You want me to clean up my life, and I need to be healthier, and I need to exercise more. Well, that's fine. That's good. But no, you can have a meaningful life. You can have a life that has a purpose. You literally, that's what Jesus came to offer us. And it doesn't mean that every day is yay, every day is we feel, wake up and feel happy, happy, happy. No, there are days that are tough, but you have a meaningful life, and Jesus offered that. And so he's offered a meaningful life. And he said, but I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to leave your nets. What do you mean? You're going to have to not make your net a priority in your life. Here's what he's doing also. He says this in this scripture. I think he's pointing out that people are more important than things. I hope you agree with that. I hope you see that family and everything else, they are more important than this stuff. You know, we can get caught up with stuff. Hey, come on. Let's talk to people. There were people that you ran across. Come on, connect with people. People are important. Here's another thing that I believe it talks about for us. Serving Jesus is indeed fulfilling. That's why it's so incredible when Ralph, who was a high school student, who's from really from a tough home, he doesn't know who his dad is. His mom is one who's been, oh, just a mess. She's living with this guy, and he abuses her, and he's alcoholic and all this. And so he lives with his grandmom for a while. Now his grandmom's got cancer, and his grandmom's really going through tough times. Wait, Ralph, let's talk to your mom. You're flunking school. You missed 80 days of school last year. Come on, you can't keep this up. You know what his mom said? I'll tell you what, if you guys want him to keep over at your place, you can have him. Guess what? Amber and Matt are keeping Ralph. Ralph is now, has completed the first semester. He got straight A's in school. He flunked last year, and this year he got straight A's. What? Because he turned his life over to Christ. And he saw a model and he saw a pattern in his life that can change. This can change society, people. We're living in the neighborhood. We're loving on the people. That's why I can talk to Eddie. When I talk about Eddie, the drug dealer, on the guy, he's a young guy. He's what, 22, 23? I said, why are you out here selling drugs all the time? He said, I need money. And he says, Christmas coming along. I have a couple little kids and I need to get them. Then I said, come on, it's illegal. You know, and he says, yeah, I know. I said, why don't you come out? I remember taking him out to, here it was, like I said, Chick-fil-A. And I was out talking to him. I said, what do you believe about God? He said, don't mock me out, but I don't know anything about God. I said, what do you believe about the Bible? He says, I don't even know what a Bible is. I said, where did you come from? He says, I came from Puerto Rico. He said, my mom got cancer when she was maybe, I was 8 years old. And my dad said that my mom died because of me. And I said, what? He said, yeah, because he says cancer. She wouldn't have gotten cancer except I was such a bad kid. And I never forgot that. I said, wow. Then what happened? He says, oh, my dad was living with some other people, and I went to New York City and stayed with my grandmom for a while, and then she got sick, and I was on the streets, and I'm just here, and I'm doing my best, and I'm trying. I said, Eddie, I said, there's hope. God can change your life. I said, there's a purpose in life. I said, would you watch the video, the Jesus video? Oh, I'd love to watch that kind of stuff. Come in. You know what? He's going to come to faith someday. Right now, he's on the streets, and he's doing wrong stuff. But guess what? We're loving on Eddie. And we're helping. It's not only Eddie. It's Indio. It's the other guys who are on the corner. We love those kinds of guys. And there's hope. What are we doing with it? Why did they talk about the homeless ministry last night? There are people. There's a guy who's supposed to be coming to church this morning who is homeless. And he said, I hear voices all the time, and I don't think that it's a mental problem. I think I'm possessed by some evil spirit or something. He said, well, why don't you come to church? And he said, you're not going to handle that alone no matter what. And he said, okay, would you help me? So they were picking him up this morning to bring him to church. Why am I saying all this? It is fulfilling to pour your life into people. Listen, when you see people's lives change, that is incredibly fulfilling. Let me tell you, sometimes people say, I can't do that kind of stuff. I'm too old. Let me share with you from a book Francis Chan wrote. He's a really wonderful speaker, great friend, all the rest of it. But he said this in the book Forever Yours, and I love it. It's been mine. He says, I was told by a marathon runner that you should try to run the second half of the race faster than the first. And once the finish line is in sight, many runners sprint. They use up every ounce of energy they have left because they can finally hit the tape and collapse when they do that and know that the race is over. I want to run my life in the same manner. I want the second half of my life to be stronger than the first. In America, the norm is exactly the opposite. Do radical things for God when you're young. Then slow down once you get married. Then you have children, and his service slows down to a halt, totally to a crawl. You have a family to think about, and then it's a matter of time until you forget you're even in a race. Instead, you focus on building a home, comfort, and settling down. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can run faster as the race goes on. In the final years, we could sprint, knowing that we can collapse in the arms of Jesus. And I'm saying, you know what? I like that. And I like the fact that the older you get, the more you can say, life is not all about comfort. Life is not all about making sure that I've got stuff. What do you want, another toaster? Do you want another program? Come on. What is the most important thing in life? It's not about stuff. It's about people and what you're doing. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, do you want to follow me? Yeah. You need to leave your nets. I'm telling you, people are more important than this. And I'm telling you that you don't have to add one more hour to your week to do it. You just need to be more intentional about this. Let me explain what I mean when I talk about all of this. This is when life becomes routine. By the way, Jesus did this with his disciples. Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years. He taught them day in, day out. They did the miracles with him. When the 5,000 needed to be fed, guess who gave out the food to the disciples? When the trash was to be taken up and 12 basketfuls were left over, guess who brought it back? The disciples. They were with him and they taught, they learned all this. But you know what? Jesus, in his process of discipling people, also included nudges. Here's what I mean by this. But sometimes believers need a nudge because just doing the routine becomes routine. And in the process, Jesus actually took the 12 disciples and he said, move, move. You need to get, you're getting settled. You're becoming passive. You're becoming too comfortable. And this is what I want you to do. Look, if you would, we're not even going to turn to this in detail, but Luke chapter 9, you know what Jesus did with the 12? He sent them. He didn't go with them. He sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and village when he was about to go. Why? Because you need to be shaken up a little bit. You need a little nudge. You say, oh, I don't need this. Hey, listen, you ever seen somebody who went on a short-term missions trip and then came back to your church? Ah, they're bouncing, oh, it was so much fun. It was great. I can't describe. Da, da, da. And I was just like, what happened? They did something that was out of the ordinary. You know, I'm not saying you have to go on a missions trip. I'm saying there is something that you need to understand. You need a nudge. Here's another passage of scripture. I'm looking at this. This is in the book of Luke, and this is verses 1 to 7. Besides the 12 who Jesus was pouring into, here it is. Jesus also had the 72. That's another group of disciples that he was working with. And look at this at Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, turn there. Luke 10, verse 1. Now I want you to look at this. Here's what he did. He did something intentional. There was a plan of action to say, you're growing as a Christian. You're reading your Bible. You're coming to church. Guess what? I'm going to give you also a nudge. Here's what he did. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That wouldn't encourage me too much, but at any rate, do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the way. That didn't mean you're not supposed to be friendly. It was talking about you're not there for a purpose of doing a sightseeing trip. You're here to do something that I'm asking you to do. Look what he says then at verse 5. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And I'm just going to stop right here because there are some interesting principles in here that I think could relate to us in our lives. Here's what it would be. One of the ones that I have is this, and I must be hitting it wrong again. There, I did it. Okay, here's what it is. Be bold. You want to get out of your comfort zone, you need to be bold. Sometimes it's hard for you to get out of your comfort zone. This, another thing, he said, I want you to be prayerful. Now, when he talks about being prayerful, pray that therefore the Lord of the harvest that he's going to send forth. You need to be burdened. In other words, you need to go out in this ministry and feel some burden. I was talking, I was up in New York City in October, and there was a man by the name of Mac Peer who wrote a book, and he put a program together there. And he says, in the United States, the largest religious group, the largest by far the religious group, and is growing exponentially, is now becoming the nuns. And he calls them not N-U-N, not in Catholic, it's like N-O-N-E. There are all kinds of people that don't believe anything about God. They don't know. I don't know if there is a God. There may be. I think we all get to heaven. We probably do our best. I take a little bit of Jesus. I take a little bit of Hindu. I take a little bit of Muslim. And we'll all get. What in the world is that? See, people have become their own gods. And what's happening, we have to understand, we must prayer, go out into the neighborhood, and you go out and you will find there are a lot more nuns out there than you realize, even in your area. They don't believe, they don't know what they believe, and they don't really know where to go from all this. Here's another thing he said, be careful. He did say, come on, yeah, he says, there are wolves out there, so use your smarts and don't do something that is foolish. And he says this, be intentional. Go to the point you would say, this is what I'm going to do. I am going with the purpose of making a difference. See, you can do that where you are. This is what your job. This is your family. This is what it is. You could go in. You could be intentional in just asking people, oh, okay, do you go to a church? Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Why don't you come to some event? Hey, we got a marriage thing that's going on at the end of February. You ought to do something this year. What is that? What is that happening? That is part, be intentional. And Jesus is saying, if you want to find fulfillment, you need to leave your nets, leave trying to just improve yourself and say, no, I want to follow Jesus. And here's what he did. In addition to this, here's what he gave them authority over the evil one. And that's incredible. Guess what? We have that too. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we can pray and God can answer and the Lord does answer. Here, he told them to go to receptive people. That's, you know what? Henry Blackaby is a great author. He wrote a great book called Experiencing God. And I love the book, but he says, you know, what should I do if I want to start a new church? He said, just see where God's working and cooperate with him. I mean, but what I want to do with the Bible study, see who responds. You want to know who you should focus in on? Somebody that's saying, oh yeah, I may be. I don't know what I believe about God, but I'm open. See, look for people of peace. Did you see the passage? He sent them out and he said, look for people of peace. Look for people who are responding in a positive way. Focus on them. And then he does this. He says he challenged them not to get stuck if the people are not interested. If the people say, no, I'm not interested, just love on them. Just love on them. Be kind. And it may not be their time. The Holy Spirit is going to speak in their lives. You know, it was so interesting to me. We had a guy who, we have so many heroin addicts in our own area. And we have had murders and all kinds of things. It's a tough area where we're in. But one of the things that was interesting, Lewis was a guy who I personally was trying to help. And I found out he was lying to me. He had stolen all the copper tubing out of our church basement. And when we were not, I mean, it's like all this kind of stuff. And I ended up pouring money into this, just a mess. And I'm just saying, Lewis, you need to get help. And so he did. And he left there. And then he left his wife or girlfriend and three kids and started living with another woman. And he's just, guess what? Last week, this has been 2 years. Last week, Lewis came to our recovery ministry program on Thursday evening. Lewis, what are you doing here? He said, it's time for me to get serious about God. And I checked myself into Adonai House. It's a program here. And he says, and I'm coming back to God because I need to change. What is happening? You know, why am I saying that? I don't get stuck. If somebody doesn't respond to the gospel, you love them, you do whatever it is, but let them find their time, keep praying for them. And you know what? He came around. And he came around, and there's hope for him. Let me tell you, Jesus told the 72 to go out. And he said, it was scary. Do something. I want you to get bold. I don't want to be bold. Use God talk with people. What do you mean? Say, I was at church. Do you go to a church? Don't be intimidated by the world. Come on, you say, hey, you know, this morning I was reading in my Bible. Don't be intimidated. Come on, people. I mean, what in the world are we doing if we can't even say what we believe? And so the point is, we have to be strong enough to be able to do this. And they learn to be bold. And they, guess what happens when they came back? Here's what happened when they came back. You have to look at this, the response. When the 72 came back from going on a mission trip of their own, look what happened. The 72 returned with what? What's it say? They returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They came back with power they didn't even know they had. What in the world? What is happening? Maybe what you need is to be able to say, you know what? I've lost some of my joy as a believer. I've lost some of the power that I have as a believer. Maybe it's because you're focusing on the humdrum and you need a little nudge to say, come on, guys. You need to be involved in the lives of other people. And by the way, this is an interesting passage of scripture. Because you'll also see, you know how Jesus responded when the 72 came back and reported to him? Look, if you would, you want to see that. This is interesting. How did Jesus respond? Here's what he says in verse 21. You're going to see this. At this time, Jesus, full of joy. By the way, it's the only time in scripture that it says of Jesus that he was full of joy. I'm sure there were other times, but he was delighted. At this time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. You know what? He's just saw you caught it. You caught it. The greatest thing in life is not stuff. It's people. And you guys, now you're coming back with joy. Now you're coming back with, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know God could use me. Yeah, he can. And God can do this. So it leads me to what I like to do. And we do a lot of this over at Urban Hope. We actually, by the way, it says, and this is, he was absolutely pleased with all that. And look at what happened. We use this question. And it's, so what? Say that with me, okay? So what? That's what we do all the time. So that was interesting, Ed. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, Jesus went out and did this kind of stuff. He preached. They did all this stuff. And the disciples, they needed to get out of their comfort zones. He told them to leave their nets, go out, and I'll make you a fisherman. And they did it. Good. That's great. What's that have to do with me? We bring it in. Here's what I think. This little acrostic that I built on something, I'm not sure if it's original with me or whatever else it was something, to, but it was just like, why don't you fish for people? F-I-S-H. What is it he wants us to do? Here's what I want you to do. Be friendly. Say friendly. Tell the person right next to you, you need to be friendly. You need to be friends, because here's what it is. You know where it starts. If you're going to make a difference for Jesus Christ, you don't close yourself in. You are friendly. You don't have to be like Ed, praise God. You don't have to do this kind of thing. You can be yourself. But if you've never talked to the neighbors, if you've never talked to the, come on. Come on, let's try to get, let's get to know their lives. If you're texting and using Facebook, use it for positive stuff and encourage people spiritually and help them and be friendly. When you go into a restaurant, be friendly. Last night I was getting a rental car, was coming in here, came by, I had no idea. This guy came by, he said, "You, where are you from?" I said, "Philadelphia." He said, "What do you do there?" I said, "Well, I'm connected with a church ministry." He said, "I knew you were a Christian." I said, "Why is that?" He said, you just act like one." And I said, "Well, that's nice, I think." I said, where are you from?" He said, "Israel." I said, "Israel?" I said, "I grew up in Jerusalem." I said, "You did." I said, "What are you? Are you Jewish or are you Palestinian?" "I'm Palestinian." I said, "Are you a Palestinian Christian?" He said, "Yeah, kind of quiet one, but I am." And I said, "You know what?" He said, "You are so friendly." I said, "Well, I can't believe you talked me into all this different stuff about cars and all this kind of stuff." And he said, "Let me walk you out to your car." And he said, "You know what? If you ever want to go over to Jerusalem, I'll show you around. I can show you different stuff." Where in the world did that happen? It was because I was friendly to begin with. I'm not talking about being mouthy. I'm just friendly. You go into a restaurant, the waitress is there. They've got her name tag on. For pity's sakes, call her by name. Go to a grocery store and be friendly to the, "Hey, Mabel, how's your day been going?" "Well, what is it?" "It's just a, well, it was really tough. I was really tired." "Why are you tired?" "Well, I have two jobs." "Oh, my, you're having a rough, how do you pull it all together?" You're friendly. Okay, you have to do this. Here's another thing you need to do. You need to initiate. Say the word initiate. Don't respond. That's our problem as believers. We're responders instead of initiators. You need to be the one, the first one to say hi, the first one to try what's going on in everybody else. You need to be the guy who is reaching out to other people. Jesus said you can become a fisher of men. You can make a difference, but you're going to have to initiate and be the one that is starting the conversation. So say the word initiate. Okay. Now, another thing that you need to do, every single one of us has a different story. Say the word story. And listen, you need to get people's stories. Hello? You know what I did? My neighbors, even in India, I just come by and just talked to them. And I said, "Hey, you guys," I said, "I'm going to take you out for pizza." "What for?" I said, "I just want to get to know you guys." I said, "On Tuesday night, they have pizza buffet in town." And I said, "I'll take you guys, take the kids." I said, I'll cover the cost." And they were like, I think they thought I was Amway or something, you know, kind of. And I just said, no. I said, "We know you." And I just said, "No." So I came, I said, "Come on." I said, "We'll do this." Well, I'm used to usually the one at a place, if we were going out to a pizza place, I would normal or whatever, I would thank God for food. But they didn't. They just went ahead and pizza by. And I thought, okay, I mean, I'm not going to go, "Halt, you didn't pray." You know, so I won't pray. So I went, it was good for me. And so I did this kind of, and I just said, "You know what? What are we doing?" All this kind of stuff. And I just asked Selena, I just want to ask, "What's your story?" I wanted to get together so we can just share stories. "What do you mean?" "I grew up in Elkhart and I met Scott, and I guess the rest is history." I said, "Maybe a little longer." I said, "Why don't you tell us?" And she took about 10 minutes and told about really tough upbringing and all kinds of stuff that was going on. I said, "Man, I didn't know that." I responded. "I'm so hard. I didn't realize. It must have been a tough." "No, it was fine." And then Scott, "Why don't you tell his story?" And he did and told about high school and basketball and all the stuff that was going on. And I told my story. I didn't go into the gospel. I didn't go in, "Well, I turned my life over to Jesus." I didn't do that. I just told a story where I grew up and I put faith in it. I use a lot of God talk, but I just did that. And I said, "Hey, Scott, why don't you come to church with me?" "I knew you were going to do that." "No, I don't want to do that." "Okay, fine." I said, "But anyway, we had a good time," and I dropped him off. And so we came by, and I thought, well, I tried. And about 10:30 at night, I come by, and there's somebody knocking on my door. And I thought, what in the world? So here it is, Scott and Selena came over and said, "Hey, Ed, can I talk to you?" "Sure." Said, We needed to talk because we weren't honest with you tonight. I said, you weren't? What do you mean? He says, well, really, Stephen is not really ours. I was with another guy before, and he doesn't know that, and you're a religious man, and we felt like we should let you know. And I said, oh, it's no big deal. You're forgiven and all this kind of, all this kind of. And I said, no, this is where it's all right. It's not a big deal. So we were leaving. And then Scott said, hey, listen, he said, you know what? He said, I was really kind of harsh about church. He said, it's because I've been hurt by church and I don't want to be in a church. And he said, but I am curious a little bit about God sometimes. And if you're ever interested, maybe we could just talk together about God. And I said, yeah, let's do it next Tuesday. I said, let's set up a time. We'll keep doing this. And you know what? He came over. We had chips and just talked. And he eventually made a decision for Christ and he's involved in a church. Now, why did that happen? Because I listened to a story. You understand? Everybody's got a story. Everybody's gone through a tough time. F stands for? I stands for? And S, we're looking for a? And then H is this, and it's so important that we ourselves are giving people hope. Say the word hope. You know what? Some of the things that we do in Philadelphia are the most incredible things. I remember talking to a guy not long ago. He was Muslim, and he was walking down the street. And I said, hey, I'm just asking people. I said I was being friendly and just nice. I said, I was just asking people if there are any things that I can pray for them about. He said, well, I'm Muslim. I said, that's okay. I said, I just want to know if there's anything I can pray for you about. He said, I think you don't understand. I'm Muslim. I said, yeah, but I can still pray for you, can't I? And he said, yeah, I guess. He said, well, I need work. We're doing something like that. And I said, God, I don't even know this guy's name, but I said, here's a guy who's just really gone through a tough time, and right now he's unemployed, and he just needs work. And God, I pray that you'll answer. You know what he did? He gives me two hands. He says, I think you're the only person in my life that's ever prayed for me. You know what? There are people that are out there that are hurting. And meanwhile, we can't go through the same day in, day out. God has a purpose and a plan for you. It may not be going to Philly. It may not mean going on a missions trip. Maybe it's talking to your next door neighbor. Maybe it's doing something in a homeless shelter here. Maybe it's doing, but there are people who don't have hope. They are going, why am I in Philly? It is a very, very, very dark place. And the people are going to hell. I think they really think that the only thing you need to do to get to heaven is die. Because as soon as somebody dies, they say, oh, I know they're looking down from us in heaven. And they're I'm just saying, no, I don't think so. Because you're looking at all this stuff. I don't say that. But I'm just saying, but you know what? It's one of those things to look at all this and to say, come on. Believers, you can go fishing. You know what I do? I've kind of brought these glasses up here and it helps me a little bit. You know what? I put on some God glasses because I want to be able to see the needs of people. And kind of think, the person that right next to you at work, he probably doesn't have hope. And maybe if he died, he'd go to hell. Put on some God glasses and say, what can I do? The person at Starbucks that's waiting on you and you're ordering something, maybe they need hope too. They might need somebody to really reach out to them. What's it going to take for you? Hey, just leave your nets. Nothing wrong with your job, but become intentional and say, I'm going to love on that person. I'm going to give that person hope. Maybe hope is just coming to the point of having prayer for them and praying with them. I can go to a restaurant around our area and the waitresses, by the way, a lot of single parent moms are waitresses. They really do. And you know what? I always do this. I'll say, hey, in just a minute, I'm going to have prayer for the meal. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Anything going on in your life? And I just say, you're working here full time? What's going on? You know what? A lot of times they'll be interested. I always leave a good tip if I'm going to do that, because it would be terrible to leave a bad testimony. But I always leave a good tip, but then I would say this, and you know what? You're not going to believe the people that have just made some incredible thank you, thank you. Nobody's ever done that before, or somebody else is reaching out. One time I was with a whole group of people, and there was a girl that wanted and says, what are you doing for Christmas? And she said, oh, I wanted to go home and visit my mom, but I don't have enough money for the plane ticket. And we all got together, no joke. And how much was the plane ticket? Oh, I can't, it was $140. And we all put our money together, and we gave her $140. And she cried. And she said, where do you guys go to church? So we go to the church right around, and she says, I've never seen such love. You could be used. I'm just telling you, God can use you. You can make a difference, no matter where you are. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that you're going to continue to be with this congregation. God, we love the people. They're responsive. They're warm. But God, I pray that you'll help us all to be bold enough to go out fishing, to be willing to leave our comfort zones, be able to say, I really want to reach out to others. God, use us even this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm.
Let's all stand. I want to make a mention that out in the courtyard, we've got 3 trips planned to Philadelphia this year that you can join and be a part of and actually see what Ed's talking about. So stop by the courtyard and see what's going on.